RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I knew it was good. You got that belief. You got that confidence. You got that swagger as offense. You practice well. You hit plays like that in practice. I mean, it was pretty identical to practice. And when the play gets called, and the moment comes up like that, it's time to go hit it. Time to go in the game.
It's Caleb Williams, the Iceman himself. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The post-post show on a Sunday morning. Folks soaking it up. Folks taking it in. Many of you might be just waking up after that celebration last night from the Bears taking down the hated rival, the Green Bay Packers, in overtime fashion. What a night it was. And just a couple of texts here, and we'll get out to the phone line. My guy Chris Emmons is going to join me because I did plan to read a few of the texts, and we've just kind of gotten away from ourselves, and all the phone calls have been very much appreciated. But let's see, from the 630, that last throw by the Bears last night is exactly what we expect from a first overall pick. A lot more to come, hopefully. From the 847, that throw from Caleb gave me goosebumps, reminded me of Jordan hitting that buzzer beater over Craig Elo, and I agree with you on that one, man, because that was a moment early in Jordan's career as he was first becoming known for all these game-winning shots, the late-game magic, the heroics that were there from MJ. Love seeing that. And let's go out to the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois, where my guy Chris Emma is on the hotline with me right now. And Emma, I know you were out there. It was a chaotic scene. Was it as chaotic and climactic as any you've been around with the Bears?
Without a doubt. And look, that's a win you're going to remember forever. I mean, that's a win that's just going to stick with you for a long, long time. And who knows where the rest of this season goes, but that's a game we're going to be talking about for years and decades. Beating the Packers in that kind of improbable fashion at home, Saturday night, primetime game, everything on the line. It's just that's an unbelievable victory, and it's what Chicago should be savoring. That's just the manner in which they won that game is just something you can't forget.
And so we had a caller earlier in the show here who referenced something that I wasn't aware of. And as you guys on the Bears beat asked Caleb about the celebration that he's begun doing here, I guess last week was the first time many of us noticed it, where he's kind of rubbing his hands on both shoulders. And he explained to you guys that it was kind of taken away from Cole Palmer, the soccer star, and he kind of got motivated by that. We had a caller earlier in the show who referenced that also, and I just kind of, did some quick online searching just to clarify, because this caller referenced he was learning American Sign Language, he and his family, and it's also that particular symbol, that motion where you put both hands, kind of both claws on your shoulders, rubbing them up and down, is also American Sign Language for bear, which I don't know if that's just a parallel that's just almost kismet for Caleb or if he's aware of that, but he didn't reference it to you guys. I guess just getting – I just wanted to share that with you because I know you're going to have an opportunity to talk to Caleb during the week here, maybe even continue to clarify some of that. But an actual question about Caleb and his presence, there's a degree of calm and comfort that he seems to have in these moments. What is it like as you're just observing how Caleb handles himself with the game on the line?
You heard the cut coming into this segment, in which it was my question. I asked him, what did you feel when you released that ball? He said, I knew we had it. Like, and he just knew all the way. And that's not just words. You saw his body language. He put his hands in his hand warmers just to say, this is it. Like, he knew it. And I was watching that play. I rewatched the game at about 2:30 or 3 in the morning because I just couldn't go to sleep and had to just digest everything again. And the body language from him, I don't think Bears fans are going to love this comparison, but it reminded me of Aaron Rodgers, a guy who's been there so many times before, and just has this kind of cool, composed killer to him. And that's an unbelievable compliment to pay Caleb Williams. He's led 6 fourth quarter comebacks this season. It's more than any quarterback in the NFL. That's more than any quarterback has done in Bears history in a single season. He's the Iceman. We've heard that nickname. He's just so cool and calm in those situations to the point where he's letting a unbelievable throw, by the way. I mean, that's a 46-yarder, but he's dropping back from the other side of the 50-yard line and putting that thing on a dime for DJ Moore. And his first reaction is just to kind of shrug it off, warm up his hands, and let that thing drop in for a touchdown. That's not something that just comes inherently. That's a natural ability for a guy, and this unbelievable calm that he has that resonated on the biggest stage of his career. And this is a defining moment for Caleb Williams. It was a defining moment for these 2025 Bears, and there was never really a doubt in his mind they were going to have that moment.
And with that moment, the exuberance that was there from DJ Moore afterwards, and we haven't played the Fox interview back. We'll do that later on this hour because it was hilarious that DJ Moore, you know, it was kind of a profanity-laced interview, but in the most joyful of ways. And it had to happen. Like, I was concerned, Emin, and I even talked to you about it a bit earlier in the week on the afternoon show, not having Roma Dunze or Luther Burden in this game and how that could impact the comfort that Caleb could have in the Bears' passing attack, because those are two of the pass catchers who he has seemingly been most comfortable with throughout this season. What impact did you see that having on the Bears, and how gratifying was it to see that Caleb and DJ could link up in those critical moments?
Well, a note about DJ Moore first. His career record in the NFL is 52-77. He's never sniffed the playoffs. This is his first winning season. He's been desperate to be on a team like this and had this kind of breakthrough. I keep going back to 2 years ago. The Bears beat the Falcons on a snowy day at Soldier Field for their 7th win of the season, and they smoked cigars, victory cigars, as if they clinched something. And that was the day they were eliminated from postseason consideration, but they were just so happy to be experiencing victories. I think DJ was the one who brought the cigars that day, in fact. He is savoring the idea of being on a winning team with playoff aspirations and the potential for a deep run. And he's been that guy. He's elevated his game considerably, and they needed him so badly yesterday. With you said it, without Roma Dunze, without Luther Burden, and down in the passing game, trying to get this offense going, and he was that guy. I give this guy a ton of credit. Like, people dissect him a lot. They try to figure out his personality. They try to debate if he can be number one receiver. That's debate you can have. There's fair arguments to make about DJ Moore, but he was that guy last night for the Bears when they needed him the most, and you want to believe he's going to be that guy for many more games to come here this season.
Set the scene for us at Soldier Field itself. I mean, the Bears were kind of putting the call out to fans throughout the week, and it's not like there's ever much doubt that Bears fans are going to show up and be there and available, be loud, home or away. But give us a sense for being at Soldier Field in person and the electricity that was there.
That was as much of a buzz as I've ever felt in that building. It was just from start to finish. The coin toss had a Green Bay sucks kid going through the referee's microphone down on the field. You could hear it echoing when he turned his microphone on because it was that loud. And the place was going nuts for most of that game. It got quiet for a bit. Even Ben Johnson noticed it when they're down 16-6 and they're struggling and trying to find it. There was this tension and this, oh no, here we go again kind of feeling, which is understandable because if you've been in that stadium, you've seen these games before go the other way. To the Bears fans' credit, I didn't see many empty seats in the final few minutes of that game. People were there. They stuck with it. They believe in this team, and rightfully so. This is a team that's produced those comeback victories and those triumphant moments many times before, and I think many of the 60,000 plus people in that stadium believe they could still do it, even as bleak as those odds were, because this team has earned that benefit of the doubt that they can keep finding a way to get it done. And when that ball was lofted in the air, I mean, you felt the energy in that building. Drew Dolman told me he felt like he was up there for 10 to 15 seconds, and I think that's about accurate. And when that thing came down, it was just pure euphoria. I love seeing these reaction videos. Man, I was up too late to scroll on Instagram or whatever else trying to get a sense of how people were reacting, and had, you know, friends and different people like that sending me their reactions, and it was a euphoric feeling in Chicago. Like I said, that's a game you will never forget.
Bears beat reporter Chris Emma with us here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You can find him on social media at CEmma670, and I don't do as good of a job on Twitter as I probably should, so I'll put it out there for folks just so people know for something to look for, because I'm probably not going to be on whenever Fox Sports does post it. There's an additional camera angle available. Well, I was at the Big Ten Network, so the feed I was watching, I got to see the raw feed, kind of the backdoor feed of you know, everything before it went out on television live. There's a particular camera angle that speaks to the point you were making about Caleb. I'd be shocked if Fox doesn't put it out at some point in the days to come here, where there's a handheld camera on the field just to the side of Caleb that's only on Caleb that entire final play. And it shows exactly what you were describing, Emma, where he gets the snap from center, he throws the pass, he throws the hands in the pocket, and this particular field-level handheld just stays on him even after you know the pass is completed, and the teammates from the sideline come and mob Caleb while he's doing the, you know, the little Iceman deal on the shoulders, and he's just standing there basking in it, soaking it in somewhat calmly, but, you know, receiving the love essentially from his teammates. So I wanted you to know that, and I want listeners to know that there's a shot that Fox has of that is absolutely pristine of everything that Caleb did. So I'm confident they're going to put it out at some point here, but I want to ask you about the teammates reacting to Caleb, because it's one thing for everyone to like each other, for there to be camaraderie, but now that, you know, you see DJ Moore tweeting about it, other teammates tweeting about Caleb, that you get to see in person the way they interact with him, there's tangible evidence, and it feels like the belief is not only hope anymore. This team knows what Caleb is capable of. How are you seeing now at this point the way the teammates are galvanized around their QB?
I mean, for years and years, whether it's Caleb, Justin Fields, Mitch Trubisky, the questions are about the potential. Yes, teammates, yes, coaches, what do you see in the potential of this kid? And everybody says the right things. You know, we believe in him, we think he's going to be great, this and that. It's different now because there's evidence to the belief. It's not just potential, it's results, it's there. The next step for a young quarterback in Caleb Williams' consideration here is to have those defining moments, to be the reason why you're winning these games. And he is taking a significant step on that towards becoming a franchise quarterback. This is what the great quarterbacks do. And if you look at the guys who lead those fourth quarter comebacks, I don't have the list right in front of me, but it's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's the great quarterbacks in this league are the ones who get that done. And that's the defining moment. That's what stands out. And when you think about those great quarterbacks, it's not about MVPs. It's not about touchdown passes. It's about Super Bowls. It's about playoff wins. It's about being that guy in those spots. And Caleb Williams is doing that now. He's taken a team. They won 5 games last year at Big Anthony. They won 6 by fourth quarter comeback alone this season. This is the story of the 2025 Chicago Bears. And this is the story now of Caleb Williams' second season. And he's absolutely on that right path towards becoming a franchise quarterback. Last night was a truly defining moment in his young career, to be that guy, to lead that victory against the rivals, to get yourself on the cusp of a playoff appearance and setting up a clinching scenario for the North. Like, he has led this revival this season, and when the team needs him the most in these tough situations where you're trailing by double digits in the fourth quarter, he rises to the occasion. The Iceman's the nickname. Like, that's something that's just a part of him. He's so cool and comfortable in those situations, to the point, as I mentioned, he's just shrugging when that ball leaves his hand. Like, he knows it's a touchdown. He truly feels that because he's worked on it. They put in the work in practice. They installed that play. He executed it then. He's envisioned it. And when that ball left his hand, there was never a doubt it was going to be a touchdown.
Cairo Santos is, like many place kickers, can be subject to scrutiny and scorn whenever something goes wrong, because the feeling is you've got one job, make the kick, and if you don't, then everybody's really upset and wants to run you out of town. You were there at Soldier Field last night, and on television, just watching the way that the goalpost was swaying around wildly in the wind, and he still drills a 51-yard field goal. Like, he had to do it with draw. He had to do it, you know, going from one side of his kick path to the other. And he was 3-for-3 in those conditions. Give us a sense for what those conditions were and what Cairo Santos was saying about it afterwards.
You know, Cairo's a golfer. He's one of the best golfers in that locker room, as a matter of fact. And so he's got experience playing the wind away from football. He has a respect for a good fade or a draw, whatever club he needs out of the bag to hit that shot. And he takes that to the game. He takes that to the kicking game. And there's been a lot of debate about Cairo Santos, because we see kickers like Brendan Aubrey just routinely hitting 60-plus, and everybody's thinking, man, well, I don't know, the Bears have a kicker like that. The reason why they've stood by Cairo Santos is because a night like last night, where the wind is just impossible to get a read on, and it wasn't shaking the flags, it was shaking the goalposts, and it gave you such a sense of how difficult that was. This could have been one of those crazy wind games at Soldier Field where you don't really know what to expect, and part of me thought they might just keep going for an fourth down and avoid the kicking game entirely, but they have that kind of faith in Cairo Santos. Give him his flowers. He was a terrific part of that win. Those three field goals, obviously the odds kick. I mean, he booted that thing perfectly, and I know Dobbs has to secure that, but Cairo had some English on that, where that was a tough fielding for Dobbs. So Cairo Santos, not to mention the extra point, of course, to tie that thing late. No kick was routine last night, but he's put in so much work, not just on his own game, but understanding Soldier Field and the wind patterns and what he needs to do to work around that. And it's made a lot of really good accomplished kickers look silly at times, and McManus was strong at his part too, but Cairo Santos helped the Bears win that game.
They might see the Packers again in a few weeks in the postseason. That possibility is 100% there. How much does last night's game mean, just in the scope of the fact that they're, you know, it's not like they won the Super Bowl last night, but the Bears did earn a victory. They put themselves in the driver's seat for the NFC North. So it's not the, you know, the climactic game of the year, but it is a moment for this squad. How do you sort of compartmentalize what last night's victory meant in the broader scope?
You said it. The playoffs start today. It's the Bears-Packers rematch at Soldier Field in a game that's somehow even more hype than what we want last night. They put themselves in pole position now. They are a Steelers win today away from popping champagne and celebrating on their day off at home. And there's a scenario now where they win one of these next couple games and they're the NFC North champs. And everything's right there on the table for them. And you look at how tight this NFC is, like, you prioritize that. You got a chance to have some home football games in the playoffs at Soldier Field. And it just, it's crazy to think about, man. I mean, I picked this team at 9-8. I think that felt a little, I was aggressive, but you weren't thinking 11 wins. You weren't thinking 12 or 13, certainly. This worst to first turnaround that they've had is like something we haven't seen in Chicago before. It's a dynamic turnaround led by Ben Johnson, led by Caleb Williams, and a roster that's just taking new heights. And this team was borderline unwatchable for a lot of last season, as things were just dysfunctional and you're waiting for what's to come. And there's a lot of players who were on that team last year that are back this year. And the difference now is coaching and culture. And it's not just Ben Johnson. Like, Ben's obviously led the charge. He's got an outstanding coaching staff that's had a lot of individual success stories. Johnny Walker, who had him on the radar last night, his second career catch is an outstanding touchdown catch with 24 seconds to go on fourth down. Like, that's another success story. Nashawn Wright. You go all down the line with different unheralded players who've had their seminal moments in this season. And Walker's just the latest in that, because he's been developed by Antoine Randall-El. And Ben Johnson said, like, we didn't want to expose this kid to waivers because we don't want to lose him. They've got quality depth now that wasn't there before because they're being coached and developed properly. And this has all led to a culmination with your young quarterback ascending and everybody believing in what's to come, where you've had this unlikely turnaround where you're sitting there on the cusp of winning the NFC North, getting a high seed, if not a top seed in the NFC, and hosting playoff games at Soldier Field in a season where you were just trying to mark progress. It is a spectacular story. Chicago should be enjoying every step of it. And also knowing that this is just year one with Ben Johnson. The best could still be yet to come, and this could just be the beginning.
Last one, Emma, before I let you get out of here. Is this a team of destiny, or is it a great team?
I love what Caleb Williams said. You don't know if it's a team of destiny until you look up at the end when the clock hits zeros. And this team is doing everything you can until the clock hits zeros. We saw that again last night, and we've seen it so many times before. And look, this is a special season going. This is we were debating a couple months ago, is this even a good team? It's a great team. You're right. It absolutely is. And it might be a team of destiny. We won't know that until the end. But, man, this has been a heck of a ride so far, and you think it might just be beginning.
Well, that'd be fun if this team played all the way into February. Man, what a story that would be. And we know you will continue to tell the story as it takes place, Emma. Get some rest, man. Really appreciate you.
Take care.
That is Chris Emma, our Bears expert here on the beat at the at Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. He'll be at Hallis Hall giving us everything that comes out of there all throughout the week leading up to the next time the Bears are getting ready to face the San Francisco 49ers. You can tune in all day tomorrow for our Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips, starting with Mully and Haw at 5:30 right here on The Score. They'll be joined by Olin Krutz at 7, TJ Edwards at 8, and Brad Biggs at 9. You can hear me on the midday show later in the morning after that. When we return, I did tell you that there was some absolutely hilarious audio from DJ Moore post-game during his Fox interview, and former NFL running back and now media member Shady McCoy has had some thoughts on Caleb. We'll share those things with you after we return here. This is the Post Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Score.
I mean, that was one that we put in. And we ran in practice on Thursday, and it almost looked identical to that. I thought Caleb threw a dime in practice, and DJ came down with it. And, you know, we're hopeful that it may or may not be there, but, you know, we timed that one up right. DJ ran a great route, and Caleb threw him a great ball.
This is Bears coach Ben Johnson describing the thought process of the play call itself that ended up icing the game for the Bears, and the willingness to call it, the execution that was there, can be underappreciated, and understandably so, by folks who haven't necessarily operated in those circles. But you prepare a game plan on a weekly basis, and the way these things look in practice certainly won't always match up with how they're executed in game. But there are so many different options for play calls based off of the game flow, how your team is executing, what the opponent is throwing at you in the midst of it. And so you put your best educated guesses together that you can, and then you just hope that, you know, once you call it, you'll be in a position and you'll put your players in a position to execute it successfully. But it doesn't always work out like that. We've certainly seen that over the years with the Bears here, and Ben Johnson, an exceptional play caller. And one moment in the game itself before I get to DJ Moore's post-game interview from Fox. But as they had the post-game, or not post-game, the end of regulation, late regulation touchdown pass that was there to Jahdae Walker, and you know, Kevin Burkhardt had kind of forecasted, thinking and assuming really that Ben Johnson was planning to go for two, because in a similar scenario, he said he would have gone for two on the road at Lambeau a couple of weeks back if that would have come to fruition if they were able to pull off that play in that moment. If Caleb doesn't throw an interception, if he throws a touchdown pass, Ben Johnson was planning to go for two. The scenario in the game was different, though. And so when Burkhart's saying, like, oh, yeah, he would have gone for two 2 weeks ago, and I think he's going to go for two now, I didn't really feel like that was a definite in the moment because he wasn't facing Jordan Love. He wasn't facing a quarter. Now, you know, Malik Willis had a good game. There's no doubt about that. But the flow of the game was different, where the Packers had to be so methodical in their approach to operate down the field to, you know, against the Bears. And they controlled the clock, the time of possession, the Bears' defense just kind of kept chipping away at things. They didn't give up the explosives that they did, but they also weren't dictating terms to Green Bay. But it wasn't a game where you were as confident, perhaps, that the opposing offense might have an advantage on you in overtime. And it also wasn't a game where your offense had been rolling as extensively as it had been rolling a couple of weeks ago. Plus, you're at home as opposed to on the road. You have this dramatic opportunity at a comeback to seize it at the end of regulation a couple of weeks ago. I do feel like the situation in that game would have suited that better. So it actually didn't surprise me last night that Ben Johnson didn't go for two. It didn't end up mattering, though, because the Bears found their way in overtime and came out with the dub. DJ Moore, after the game on Fox, after that moment and a lot of the conversation that's been there around DJ Moore in recent weeks, you're seeing more and more outward joy from DJ Moore as some of these big game moments are taking place. And it's fun to watch because he's usually a fairly mild-mannered sort of guy, and he's not an outwardly emotional player. But as he's this battering ram within the Bears offense, you see him taking big hits. He plays the game with a physicality, but he also does have legitimate receiver skills also that have been called upon, and he's been answering that bell. Here was DJ Moore with Tom Rinaldi of Fox Sports last night after the game.
We can get to him right now. DJ,
oh, yeah.
DJ,
what's up?
How would you describe what it took to win that game?
I'd say a lot. A lot of ups and downs on our side, but we fought to the end, made this happen.
On the onside kick, you guys get the possession, you stop them. Take me through the touchdown pass that won it.
Just now?
Yes.
Yeah. We worked on it in practice. I seen the look. Nobody back deep. I just got run my ass off. You go catch the ball for Caleb.
This has been such a challenging nemesis, the Packers against the Bears. I see the nod.
Yeah.
What does it mean to get this one, DJ?
And it means a lot. And at the end of the day, it's after Packers always. Appreciate it. My boy!
What just happened?
To hear that joy from DJ, some required some editing by Tyler, and some DJ self-edited in that moment. But for him to have that real outward joy, that exuberance that you heard in his voice, his teammates soaking it up with him as well. As much as Bears fans are enjoying this and taking it in, you can really tell how much it means to this squad. And, you know, there's no guarantee, there's no given that this is the beginning of something that's going to last for years and years. And there's so many guys on this roster right now who haven't won at this level before, and DJ Moore is one of them. And I think there's a balance there for young players who, you know, could potentially feel like, okay, it's going to be like this forever. Or older players who view this as perhaps their last best opportunity for a deep postseason run. You got guys like DJ Moore who are kind of right there in the middle in their professional experience. DJ Moore isn't even 30 years old yet, but he's been in the league for a minute. He's made a lot of plays and had individual accomplishments. But the team success has always evaded DJ Moore, whether it was in Carolina or here in Chicago. And now he's got this. And I believe him when he says that he's not that concerned with individual statistics. He's enjoying being a part of winning because he hasn't felt this, hasn't been on a ride like this before. And frankly, I think there's a learning curve that can go with that also, just in addition to learning Ben Johnson's offense and learning how to coexist between the white lines with these new teammates and everything else. but just to learn how to be kind of a piece, a part of this winning formula that Ben Johnson is shaping here with the Bears. We're watching them find ways to win over and over again as they're all gaining from these lessons together. And it's an impressive thing to watch play out. And I tweeted it out a little bit earlier, just the caller we had earlier, I think it was Tom, who mentioned that that his family is learning American Sign Language. And, yeah, I don't know. I hope the Bears beat ends up kind of diving into that, you know, a little bit more sometime during the week here, because I am really curious about that at this point, just whether or not it's something that Caleb is aware of or not. Soccer star Cole Palmer, he referenced that as part of his inspiration for it. But then also just the fact that that motion with both hands on the shoulders, rubbing up and down, and kind of this bear claw kind of look grip with the hands, that apparently means bear or polar bear in American Sign Language. So that could be kind of a full circle sort of version of what's inspiring that. So we're looking for continued angles here just to make this storyline drip with even more sentiment than it already is, with the way that Bears fans and the team itself, the city, is reacting to this squad. There's a prominent member of the sports media, former player, who's had a lot of thoughts that they have shared here recently about Caleb. Let's go ahead and do it now, Tyler. We got the Shady McCoy sound from he had a post-game reaction. Everyone was putting their post-game reactions out there on social media here after the game last night. And I was discussing it with Lawrence during the week because LeSean McCoy, Shady McCoy, he's one of the members of the sports media at this point who hasn't been fully on board with Caleb. And they've got a show called Speakeasy where he's on there with Emmanuel Acho. And going into the Cleveland game, LeSean McCoy had some thoughts on Caleb, basically said that, not basically, flat out said that Shedeur Sanders is a better quarterback, that he's going to outplay Caleb in the game. That, of course, didn't come to fruition. Here was Shady McCoy last night having some post-game reaction on their show Speakeasy with he and Emmanuel Acho.
And this is what I wanted to see. He had games before he looked good. Tonight he showed up. The running game wasn't working. So who they gonna go to? They went to Caleb Williams. And my thing is not wrong with what I said. Now I probably got a little crazy with the Shedeur. Shedeur was coming off strong. I thought that, you know. But if we just talking about Caleb Williams as a quarterback, this is why we said he's generational. This is why we say he's special. All the other stuff in the other games, I didn't see this. Right? He put the team on his back. You get what I'm saying? Scrambling, throwing the ball deep, whatever it takes to win, he was doing that. And when I talk about quarterbacks, I say, yo, I can't compare him to guys like Bo Nix. He's way better, way more talented, way more God-gifted. So I need to see it. Tonight, he showed up and showed out. And this is the Caleb Williams I've been waiting for. Me and him was texting, and he was joking about the Shedeur thing, whatever, talking his little talk. And I said, yo, I'm waiting to see that number 13 from USC. And he texted back and said, he's on the way. Now, this right here is on the way.
That's LeSean McCoy on the show Speakeasy with Emmanuel Acho. Now, I don't know if this is the first time LeSean McCoy has been watching Caleb closely, but last night's moment was just the latest of a number of moments and performances this season from Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears as a team. There have been so many dramatics already this year. So maybe it was just the fact that it's an island game. He's watching it a little closer. Maybe it's the fact that he's gotten some blowback on social media from saying something that kind of seemed outlandish with the Shedeur comparison. Whatever that is. But now apparently Shady McCoy on board with Caleb Williams. And even referenced he and Caleb have been texting about this, which is kind of fun to hear. Also, Caleb, he's, you know, his ears are out there. His ears perk up when folks have things to say about him, whether it is members of the national media, former players, what have you. He doesn't mind throwing some things out there just to let it be known that he is listening and he is filing all these things away. If there's added motivation that comes from that, I'm all for it. I take no issue with that either. It's a really fun time to talk about the Bears, and many of us try to find our way to put a different little unique spin on that conversation as well. I've made some of those efforts to do that myself here during the week. And, you know, you look at some of the post-game celebrations. We're at the time of year where costumes and joy is going to continue to be part of the conversation during the holiday season. The Bears have some of that going in the locker room as well. we get set to close out my 3 hours with you here on The Score, I want to play something for you that I think you will very much enjoy. Certainly, I hope you do. I'm Anthony Herron. My guy Tyler Farrigal on the ones and twos for me. This is the Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I'm actually just rewatching some of the late game dramatics from the Bears. Jahdae Walker hit that slide, man. That is what he does. Been doing it since he was in college at Texas A&M. And he knows what he's doing. A lot of folks might tear a hamstring or pop an Achilles or tear an ACL or something. They were trying to do it with the vigor that he does it. But he knows what he's doing when he hits that particular celebration afterwards. I'm Anthony Herron. This is the Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Yes, I see some of you on the text line, like the 708, the pass interference call that was missed there. It's definitely an and one from DJ Moore to close the show on a perfect dime from Caleb Williams that ends up icing the game. So I agree with you, and the refs missed that call. Now, you know, if DJ doesn't catch it, does the flag come in late or something like that, maybe it's human nature. You do tend to see the refs hold on to the flags a little bit more, a little bit longer in those decisive moments. But, yes, definitely should have been a pass interference call. I certainly hope that they would have called it regardless. And, you know, for the refs executing at their peak, that's the way they should handle it, is just to throw the flag and allow the result of the play to speak for itself and to go ahead and be declined if that's the decision the team ends up wanting to make. But it was definitely a climactic moment that was there in that game and a defining moment for this Bears season. 312-644-6767. A couple of things I want to get in before we get out of here. I don't trust AI in general anyway. I don't know if that's a trust issue on my part or just me being a dinosaur. But up until moments ago, Twitter, X, AI, Grok, whatever these artificial intelligence aspects of the online social media platform is, they still had the headline reading, Packers edge Bears in overtime NFC North thriller at Soldier Field. Then it had a full description, the Packers and Bears clash in a 16-16 overtime nail biter Saturday night. It had some glowing things to say about Josh Jacobs and Christian Watson and several of the Bears who were banged up. But AI was telling us the Packers won that game until just a few moments ago. It's finally been updated to say Bears stun Packers 22-16 in overtime comeback thriller. So that's accurate. But up until a few moments ago, the entire night, post-game last night, all the way overnight, into the hours of this morning, it was still reading as though the Packers won the game. So that's just one thing I want to point out just for the rest of you to have another reason not to trust AI so you can be on board with me. But just think about the final 2 minutes of that ball game. The Bears had to kick the field goal to make it 16-9. Cairo has to drill one in those remarkably difficult wind conditions, and he did it. Drilled that field goal to make it 16-9 after they were trailing 16-6 with 2 minutes to go. After the operation of what we thought was maybe going to be, you know, a hurry-up field goal scenario or hurricane field goal, rapido field goal. A lot of teams have their own terminology for the idea that you want to hurry up and get that kick in before a certain time element on the clock goes against you. They didn't get the kick in before the 2-minute warning. But the odd aspect of that was that it meant they needed to go ahead and attempt the onside kick, which is a very rare thing to recover at any point in football history, let alone in the modern NFL, where the only time you're allowed to onside kick now is in desperation onside scenarios where you let the opponent know you're about to do an onside kick. But the Bears somehow magically recover the onside kick. Romeo Doubs does not recover the football. He leaves the game with an injury afterwards. So the Bears recover the onside kick. They throw a fourth down touchdown to Jahdae Walker. Then they convert the extra point after that. The Bears end up sacking Malik Willis. That sends the game into overtime. Packers got the ball. They fumble on fourth down in overtime because they're just narrowly out of field goal range. And the Bears end up converting that 46-yard touchdown strike from Caleb to DJ. There's so much that had to go right for this latest and perhaps greatest victory of this absolutely incredible season that the Bears have been in the midst of, with victories they've had over the Commanders and the Raiders and the Vikings and the Bengals and the Giants, and now the arch nemesis, the Green Bay Packers, that have all been of this incredible, unbelievable variety late in game, and yet they continue to pull it off over and over again. Soak it up, Chicago. Enjoy it. Number 2 seed in the NFC. Number 1 currently in the NFC North. And if you can find it in your soul to root for Aaron Rodgers today, there is a chance that by the end of this football day, the Bears will clinch the NFC North Division Championship. Didn't think we'd be here, but here we are. It's been a fun show. Been enjoying hanging out with you. Appreciate all the phone calls, all the text messages. Also, my guy Chris Emma for joining me for kind of an extended segment at the top of this hour to get some reaction as he was there in Soldier Field. Bears fans all over the country have been calling in and texting in. This team means so much to so many folks out there. It was fun to be a conduit for you for the last few hours. Appreciate my guy Tyler Farengol on the ones and twos for me throughout the show this morning. And appreciations, salutations to all of you for listening to the all-powerful Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.